Welcome back to the Deep Dive. So, if you're listening to this right now, you're part of what is really a little technological miracle.
It really is.
The storage and reproduction of digital audio. Sound is everywhere, but it's fundamentally analog. It's just waves of air pressure.
Continuous smooth waves.
Exactly. So our mission today is to do a deep dive into the physics and the tech that lets us capture that wave, convert it, and, well, store it as a neat little digital file on your phone.
It really is the ultimate translation challenge, you know, taking something that's infinite and smooth and forcing it into these discrete, countable steps.
Right.
And that conversion process is the starting point for all modern media. If you get how that works, you'll understand why, say, the high quality setting on a streaming service sounds different from the original recording.
That's the key. So for you listening, we're going to unlock that exact process, the whole pipeline. We'll focus on the two big variables, sample rate and bit depth. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to get into the big compromise of the digital age, which is how compression gives us convenience, maybe at the cost of perfection.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just unpack this whole thing. We've got a sound wave, say, from a voice or a guitar, and we need to get it into a digital file. What are the actual stages?
Well, it all happens in a piece of hardware called the analog to digital converter. The ADC.
The ADC, right.
And it's generally a, let's say, a five-step process. So step one, a microphone captures the sound, those physical vibrations in the air.
Yep.
And it translates them into an analog electrical signal. So it's still a continuous wave. It just mirrors the original sound.
Okay, so it's still analog, still smooth.
Yeah.
So where do we start chopping it up into, you know, actual data points?
That's step three, sampling. The best way to think about it is like taking thousands upon thousands of tiny snapshots of that electrical wave every single second.
Like a super fast camera.
Exactly. We're just measuring its voltage, its amplitude at these really regular fixed points in time. You go from a smooth line to a series of dots.
Yeah. And I'm guessing the more dots you have, the better the final picture looks.
Precisely. And that leads us right to step four, which is quantization.
Quantization.
So we have all these snapshots, these dots, but they're still just voltages. Quantization is where we assign a number, a specific numerical value to the voltage of each and every sample.
So you're measuring the height of each dot.
You're measuring the height of the dot and giving it a value. And, you know, the more numbers you have to choose from, the more precise that measurement can be.
And once you have all those numbers,
then you get to step five, which is just storage. They get stored as binary code. Ones and zeros. And right there, you've got a digital audio file, just a long series of numbers that a DS, a digital to analog converter, can read backward to rebuild the sound.
So that whole process, sampling and quantization, that's really the heart of it. And it leads us straight to those two dials you can turn to control the quality, sample rate and bit depth. Let's start with sample rate. It's measured in hertz.
Yeah.
Right. Sample rate is all about how often we take those snapshots per second. So the higher the sample rate, the more snapshots you take, and the more accurately the file can represent that original wave.
Okay, so we always hear about CD quality being 44,100 hertz, 44.1 kilohertz. Why that number? It seems so specific. Why not just, I don't know, 40,000?
Ah, well, that specific number comes from a really foundational idea in this field, the Nyquist-Shannon sampling theorem.
Okay.
And the theorem basically states that to perfectly reconstruct a wave, you have to sample it at a rate that's at least twice as high as the highest frequency in that wave.
So let me see if I've got this. The highest frequency a healthy human ear can hear is around 20,000 hertz.
So you need a sample rate of at least 40,000 hertz, 40 kilohertz. The extra 4,100 in the CD standard is just, it's a safety buffer.
Right.
It's for the filters they use in the conversion process to make sure nothing weird happens near the edge of our hearing.
Wow.
So 44,100 isn't random at all. It's the scientifically determined sweet spot to capture everything we can hear, but efficiently.
That makes so much more sense. So if sample rate is the horizontal measure of the time axis, what is bit depth measuring?
Bit depth, or you'll hear it called sample resolution. That's the vertical measure. It's the precision. It's about how many possible values you have to choose from during that quantization step.
So a higher bit depth means you can describe the quietest sounds and the loudest sounds with more accuracy.
That's it. And the difference is exponential. So 16-bit, which is CD quality, means you have 2 to the power of 16 possible steps.
Which is a lot.
It's 65,536 distinct values for every single one of those 44,000 samples per second. And that level of detail drastically reduces what we call quantization noise.
But then you see studios recording at 24-bit or even 32-bit. I mean, is that extra detail something you can even hear? Is it worth it for someone just listening on headphones?
That's a great question, and honestly, for the listener, probably not. The jump from 16-bit to 24-bit is usually imperceptible.
So why do it?
Because for the recording engineer, it's huge. 24-bit gives them over 16 million steps. That massive dynamic range gives them so much more headroom, more space to mix and process the audio without adding any noise or distortion during production. It's a production tool, not necessarily a consumer playback feature.
Okay.
So both of these things, sample rate and bit depth, they're critical, but they both make the file size get bigger and bigger.
And that file size problem is, well, it's massive. A minute of CD quality audio is about 10 megabytes. So trying to stream an uncompressed file, that's just not practical.
Not at all. And that's exactly why compression was invented. We had to find a way to shrink these files down so we could share them over the internet. And we do that with something called lossy compression.
And the most famous example of lossy compression is, of course, the .mp3. So lossy means you're literally losing data. How does an MP3 know what to throw away without, you know, ruining the music?
That is the absolute genius of what's called a psychoacoustic model. The MP3 algorithm doesn't just randomly delete data. It's designed to understand how the human ear and brain actually perceive sound.
Okay, so it's smart about it.
It's very smart. For example, it knows about something called auditory masking. If you have a really loud cymbal crash,
right,
your ear physically won't be able to perceive much quieter sounds happening at the exact same time in a very similar frequency. So the algorithm just deletes those quieter mask sounds. You were never going to hear them anyway.
So it's not just a blanket reduction. It's an intelligent sacrifice based on how we actually hear.
Exactly that. And by removing all that redundant or mask information, you can get a huge reduction in file size. I mean, a good MP3 can be just 10% of the original WAV file size. That's what made Napster possible. That's what made the iPod possible.
Okay, this makes sense. Let's maybe quickly run through four of the big formats we see today, because each one makes a different choice in this quality versus size trade-off. Let's start with the big one, the reference, WV.
Right, WAV, waveform audio file format. It's basically the raw, uncompressed output from the ADC. So it's max fidelity, the gold standard for quality.
But the files are huge.
The files are enormous, totally impractical for streaming or emailing.
Okay, next up, the one that changed everything, MP3.
MP3 is all about that excellent lossy compression. The files are tiny, and it is universally supported. I mean, pretty much any device you can find will play an MP3. The downside is you are losing data. It's not the original file.
And what about the format that tried to be a better MP3?
AAC.
AAC, or Advanced Audio Coding, just uses more efficient, newer algorithms than MP3, so it generally sounds better than an MP3 at the same file size.
Which is why streamers use it.
Exactly. YouTube, Apple Music, they use AAC. Its only real disadvantage was that for a long time, it wasn't as widely supported as MP3, but that's changing.
And last, for the audiophiles who want it all, small files, but no quality loss. FLAC.
Right. FLAC is the best of both worlds. It stands for Free Lossless Audio Codec. It uses lossless compression.
Like a zip file for audio. That's a perfect analogy. It packs the data more efficiently without throwing anything away. When you play it, it unpacks into the identical bit-perfect original file. It's open source, which is great, but like AAC, player support isn't quite as universal as the old MP3.
So after all this, what's the big takeaway for you, the listener? We've gone through the mechanics sampling and quantization and the variables, hertz, and bits that define every single digital sound file you've ever heard.
And you know, that knowledge really matters when you start making choices. Mm-hmm. When you pick that extreme quality setting on Spotify, what you're really asking for is a high bit rate AAC file that's trying to keep as much of that original detail as possible.
And if you pick low to save data,
you're accepting a much more aggressive compression. You're throwing away more of those masked sounds, maybe some high frequency detail.
So here's a final thought. We know CD quality is 44,100 hertz at 16-bit. And we know that a format like FLAC is technically superior because it's lossless and open source.
Mm.
So given all that, why hasn't FLAC completely taken over the streaming world, especially now that internet speeds are so much better?
Mm-hmm.
And that raises an interesting question, doesn't it? Is the real barrier to better audio quality a technical one? Or is it just the corporate inertia and the habit of universal support that older formats like MP3 and AAC already have? That's the real trade-off that's going to define what high-fidelity streaming looks like in the future.
Mm-hmm.